नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट नंबर 28 ऑफ द 8th चैप्टर ऑफ द 7th कैंटो चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ डिमन्स. त्यंशेन वेगम शतचंद्रवर्त्मभिः चरन्तमच्छिद्रमुपार्यधो हरि कृत्वात्तहासं खरम् उत्स्वनोल्बनम् निमीलिताक्षं जगृहे महाजवा तम. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Making a loud shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes closed because of fear of Narsingdev's laughter. Since there is no purport, we'll also read text number 29. Translation of text 29. As a snake captures a mouse or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Narsingdev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here and there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Narsingdev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Purport. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Narsingdev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or the night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of the day and the beginning of night, but it is neither day or night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Narsingdev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact of all Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Narsingdev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Oh, mag beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and specifically all the senior devotees, so that I may be able to speak something. I am also very sorry because I am not prepared. It is a Janmashtami season and Lord Narsingdev has appeared in the Bhagavatam. So that itself is kind of a paradoxical situation. So anyways, the qualities or virtues like sacrifice, humility, submissiveness, tolerance, these are universal qualities. Universal qualities means everyone possesses them and everyone likes them. And it is liked by everyone. Hiranyakashipu did not have any such qualities in the sense that he did not exhibit such qualities for anyone. Yet, he expected such qualities or submission from his own subjects. He expected them to be tolerant, to have sacrifices for himself and everything. So, basically, he wanted to be the enjoyer and the controller. And the mentality of Hiranyakashipu is necessary to understand before we see how Prabhupada, why he gives this some points in the purports in certain ways. Like this one man was there, he said, he was reading the Bible for many years, and in the Bible these seven qualities are mentioned which are very not so good for one to progress in spiritual life. Even in material life it's not so good. So the qualities mentioned are lust, greed, pride, envy, gluttony, wrath, which are more or less similar to the six anarthas which we mentioned: lust, greed, anger, envy, pride and illusion. So he tried to defy all these qualities. The Bible says, or even if we refer to our Vedic scriptures, these are kind of sinful qualities. They are not referred to as virtues. Rather than sins, they are referred to as sins. So, logically he brought out a philosophy, an atheistic one. He said that what is this lust this religious people are craving about all the time? In fact, it is this lust because of which I can appreciate the beauty of a woman. Then he says, what is this greed or gluttony? He says, it is because of that which I can increase my sensual pleasures. He says, one has to be happy. Then he says, what is this greed which people mention so much? He says, it is because of greed I can differentiate between who is living and who is just surviving. He said, anybody who lives, he has to have some amount of greed. Then he says, sloth. Sloth means laziness. He says, his laziness is considered one kind of sin. But the Bible says like that. But he says, what is this? He said, in fact, because of laziness, I don't develop the insecurities of competitiveness of this material world. Because when a person is competing, you are always, you know, in today's market situation, how much ever you succeed, but always there is a threat. So you cannot stop or take rest any moment. The moment you stop, you are gone. So he says, because of this laziness, I am also freed from the insecurities of whether failure or success. Then he says, this wrath, it keeps me going on the fire. He says, it is this envy because of which I want to exist. And he says, pride, it breathes life into me. And then he writes, now did I realize that these are all virtues and not sins. So such people, such mentality is basically Hiranyakashipu mentality. When we seeing Hiranyakashipu as a demon, more perfectly we can, if we see him as an atheist, that gives more justifications to many of Srila Prabhupada's purports. So there are people who propound such philosophies and they try to develop all kind of logics and reasons to justify all these kind of qualities. And they try to bring down Lord on all aspects. Like they say, Lord is not the controller. One man, basic points about the existence of the supremacy of Lord are, which are mentioned universally, that Lord is a supreme controller. He's all merciful. He knows everything. So people, first of all, generally they bring down the Lord by just referring to mundane situations all around. When they see that somebody is so good and he's still suffering, they say that how is Lord all benevolent? Like there was this one girl who went to the forest with her dog, and while returning, it started raining very heavily. And then it rained so heavy that the whole kind of the jungle, and where she stayed, outskirts of it, that got flooded. And she drowned in the flood. While she was drowning, her own dog, which was young, that dog tried to save her, but could not save because the dog was also small. And both of them drowned. There was one person who was watching all this. And then, after the flood subsided, they saw that one person survived amongst that. And who was that person? He was the drunkard of that village. So this person, he said, how is God all merciful or all benevolent? Person who is so innocent, such people die, and one who is such a drunkard and such an evil person, he survives. So just by observing situations on an ordinary platform, people try to bring down Lord. Or rather, one person, he recently put an article on eBay. eBay is a platform where you can sell. You can auction your things. If you have anything, your pen or book or shirt or t-shirt or whatever you have, you can put it on auction on the internet. So that is called eBay. He said, he put a note. He said, I sold my soul on eBay. That was the article. And that person, basically, he's an Indian, a Gujarati. So that article became very popular and it was in question. And some very big professor, he purchased that article for more than $500. Just an article on atheism. Seeing such situations, people get so afflicted, and because they have no knowledge, they don't want to regard God and soul and whatsoever. They say, I sold my soul. And then it's on eBay. Nilami. So he says, in one such article, he says that in childhood, I was taught that by praying to God, you get rid of all problems. He said, when I was late to catch the bus, I used to pray to the Lord, as if he will control the driver of the bus. He said, when I was on my way to the school, and if I saw the dogs, I used to pray to God, and I used to feel God is protecting me from the barks of the dogs and the fierce canine of the dogs. He said, later during my exams, I used to pray to the Lord that I fare well. Then he says, as if I used to pray that, oh my Lord, let the questions come the way I have studied so that I fare well. And then after giving the exam, I used to pray that let me score nice marks. Later, when he grew up, he writes that as if I was praying, as if the Lord would already change the questions for me for the paper which was already printed. As if I had written something, but Lord would go and correct all my answers and rewrite everything in the paper. And he says, as if the marks given by my professor would be again rechecked and magically be converted, and the Lord would change my marks. He says, now I realize that God was never there all the time. It was all my efforts. So he says, now I pray to the Lord that, oh Lord, give me back all my money and time I spent on you. So such people, such mentalities exist. And these are just ordinary situations where people try to bring down or try to negate the existence. But logically also, even when one is not suffering on any stage, he tries to bring them down. He tries to bring Lord down. That is what we have heard about, so many paradoxes which logically try to bring God down. Prabhupada here in the purport, in the end, he says, Lord Narsingadev paradoxically but very easily killed this great demon. So there are these people who try to bring out logical paradoxes, like the paradox of the stone. We all have heard. This man, he said, if God is so powerful, let him create a stone that he cannot move. And if he can create a stone he cannot move, and he cannot move the stone, then how is he God? Because he's not so powerful. Or they say this statement, if God is an irresistible force, and if there is an immovable object, what if these two come together? What if an irresistible force and an immovable object come together? Who is defeated? So by such equations, such logical equations, they try to bring down Lord. Therefore, God does not exist. Or the paradox of free will. That if God is knowing everything, and if human beings have free will, he says if God knows everything and human beings have free will, and if human being does whatever he is doing, that means God knows because he is all knower, and human being has free will, that means he is doing something. But if God knows everything that he does, that means that was already known and planned. That means human beings don't have free will. And if human beings do have free will, then God should not know what's going on. Then God is not all knowable. So they try to bring down Lord by all kinds of logics and reasonings and equations. Hiranyakashipu also tried to do the same thing. That's why we see he tried to actually, first of all, he did not believe that Vishnu is the supreme controller and that Vishnu can control him and kill him. But just that if in case that Vishnu can somehow destroy me, then what are the conditions in which he can destroy? Hiranyakashipu thought about it. In normal human condition, in normal material condition, we see that suppose a doctor has to perform an operation, for example. What does he need? What are the parameters? First, he needs a nice knife. He needs an environment, an operation theater. He needs all the necessary ingredients. Most important, he also needs knowledge to perform that particular operation. So, for a human being, when he wants to do or execute any activity, he needs certain tools to do that activity. But for the Lord, he does not need to depend on any of the parameters. But as a normal conditioned living entity, Hiranyakashipu is thinking on a materialistic level only, that if Lord has to kill me, what are the ways he can kill me? Okay, maybe he can kill me in the day, so let me block that aspect, no day. He can kill me in the night, okay, night is blocked. Actually, when we see the benedictions which Hiranyakashipu has taken, sometimes it does not appeal just because we just hear it. But Hiranyakashipu was one of the most intelligent people. So when he took such a benediction, it is a matter of sheer brilliance in which one can think. If we are put to, suppose we don't know this thing and we are told that, okay, you want to protect yourself from death, but you are supposed to die. So put equations in a way that you will not die. Try to escape death. In fact, it will be very hard for us to even come out with this, that I should not be killed in the day and night. He understood the different time zones to be a parameter where the Lord can kill. So he tried to stop that. No day and night. Place, not inside the house, not outside the house. Living or dead, none of this person should kill me. Neither an animal nor a human being. So he tried to time, place, circumstance, all the parameters which he could see, all the parameters in which the entire universe is constructed. He tried to block the law to enter through all those parameters. And he created a paradoxical situation. That's why Prabhupada says, paradoxically. He created such a paradox, a logical and very thoughtful situation where he should not be destroyed. With all his perceptible parameters, just depending. But he forgot one most important thing. The most essential parameter for the Lord to execute, or the only parameter. Lord does not need to depend on time, place or circumstance. Everything just happens by his desire. So he forgot this particular thing. He never regarded that desire, that Lord could just act on his desire. He considered that Lord also needs all these equations and situations to kill or execute. In fact, therefore, he tried to save himself from such situations. And not that these were just brought down by his own mind. In fact, there are statements in various scriptures. Like there is a quote in the Ramayana where it is mentioned that Valmiki Rishi mentions that one should cast aside anything which he does not perceive. Even if it is a statement spoken by Brahma, he should throw it away. How? Just like one just disregards a straw on a street or a blade of grass, you just neglect it. Similarly, if you cannot perceive it properly, you can just disregard anything. You can cast it aside. So this particular statement is spoken in some other context, but when people like atheistic people, when they read this, they also try to cast aside Lord just depending on their sense of perception. So this is what Hiranyakashipu tried. But we see here the purport, the translation is so wonderful, where Hiranyakashipu in text number 28, the example given is in the translation, with the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. Why this word, why this this hawk is used here? Because amongst all the predators of that kind, eagles, vultures and hawk is supposed to be having the most strongest eyesight and the most perfect sense of vision and sense of direction. When it wants to catch a prey, the hawk is considered the most perfect amongst all the predators. The sense of perception is so strong. So here Hiranyakashipu is compared to a hawk who is so strong in his perception about how this universe and how he can save himself. But what is his condition? That his eyes closed because of the fear of Hiranyakashipu, Narsingdev. This means that even if a person has a strong logical perception about this universe or God or soul or whatever, when one is trying to understand or negate the Lord, just as this hawk like Hiranyakashipu, he closed his eyes in fear of Narsingdev. Similarly, the senses of perception and logical equations will drastically fail when one tries to bring down the Lord or try to understand Lord just through that. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu thought that the Lord cannot do anything. He cannot break this equation. But what did Lord do? He fulfilled all the paradoxical conditions of Hiranyakashipu. Just because Lord Brahma had promised. He fulfilled that condition. And then within that, he broke through. And he appeared and he killed Narsingdev. And therefore, Prabhupada uses this word, statement, that Lord Narsingdev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon. Not that the Lord, to defy his condition, he had to work very hard. Therefore, again in the translation, it is used that just like a snake can kill a mouse, or a Garuda can kill a snake. So simple, so natural. There is nothing called like a tough duel or a fair fight. Because one is supposed to kill the other. It is an absolutely natural condition. So similarly, the Lord killed Narsingdev. And that's how, if one tries to, therefore here if we see Narsingdev as an atheist, we can understand how these logics and all can be easily, they get just destroyed by that. And so very naturally. And therefore, it's not a natural condition when one tries to understand the Lord and his activities only through one's mind, senses and intelligence. One has to understand it with submission and faith, not by logic. And then one can understand how Lord behaves in such a way. So I would like to end here. If anyone has any questions or comments. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.